This content features my AI-generated voice and an AI avatar. The content, opinions, and professional assessments are entirely my own and are based on my original materials. Using advanced technology allows me to bring you new content more quickly, more consistently, and even more up-to-date insights. Now enjoy watching and listening.
Have you ever wondered how the growth of adenoids and tonsils can influence facial development and airway health?
Hello, everyone.
Understanding their growth patterns, especially in children and adolescents, is key to managing breathing issues, sleep problems, and even orthodontic treatment timing. In this episode, we'll explore fascinating data from Japanese children to uncover how these tissues change with age and why it matters for developing faces. When we talk about lymphoid tissue growth in children, most of us still picture Scammon's famous curve, that sharp rise in childhood and steep drop by adolescence. But a Japanese team led by Takayoshi Ishida recently challenged this concept. Their group followed 90 Japanese children and adolescents from age 6 to 20, using standardized cephalometric radiographs to measure adenoid and tonsil size over time. Instead of the expected dramatic peak and fall, what they found was a slow and steady pattern. The adenoid area declined from roughly 350 to 270 square millimeters across the 15-year period, and the tonsils from about 160 to 110. No sharp turning point, no sudden involution, just a gradual reduction. The interesting part is that adenoid and tonsil sizes were correlated at all ages, which means that the tissues within Waldeyer's ring grow and regress together. So the traditional idea that these organs disappear after puberty doesn't really hold up. From a clinical point of view, this matters. Many adults we see with snoring or mild sleep apnea still have enlarged adenoids or tonsils. These findings explain why, because in some people, involution simply never fully occurs. The study gives us a quantitative reference to judge when hypertrophy is truly pathological, and it supports cephalometric screening as a reliable, low-radiation way to monitor airway occupation in orthodontic patients. Of course, the data have limits. The sample was small and entirely Japanese. It's also a two-dimensional analysis of a three-dimensional structure, but it's a well-executed longitudinal dataset that challenges one of our field's long-held assumptions. For me, the takeaway is simple. Adenoid and tonsil hypertrophy can persist well into young adulthood. So when we evaluate airway problems in our orthodontic patients, we should never dismiss the lymphoid tissues as a childhood issue. They stay with us longer than we think. Thanks for watching. I'm Dr. Martin Baxman. Let's bring science back to orthodontics.